We'll be in John chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles. Is true love deserved, or is it given? Is devotion earned, or is it a gift? Don't we all want someone to love us simply for who we are, not because of what we can do for them? And what about our love for God? Do we believe in Jesus only because of what He can do for us, or does our faith come out of a true love for Him? And these aren't just idle questions, because I believe that God wants every one of us to grow in a faith that blossoms from love. He wants us to love Him for who He is. This morning we're going to look at the second miracle of Jesus in John's Gospel. John records seven such miracles, and he calls them miraculous signs. They point to something else. That's what signs do. They point to something greater than the sign itself. There's something that a lot of you do. I see it all over Facebook and Instagram. But when you go on vacations, you take pictures, and you love to take pictures of signs. You do. There's a picture of a sign. You're crossing a state line. There's the picture of the sign in front of, you know, the big famous Las Vegas sign. There's the picture of the family out in front of the sign for Yellowstone National Park or whatever other sites you visited. And you might begin to think that we go on these big, long trips to take pictures of signs, to see signs. But that's not what it's about, is it? Sean, did you go to Yellowstone to see a sign? No. You go to see what? Old Faithful, mountains, bears. Yeah, moose and buffalo, right? So why do we take pictures of signs? Because the signs point to something else. The sign represents all of that. And that's what Jesus' signs do. They point to who Jesus is. They point us to why He came. And so these are miracles that are more than miracles. This isn't just the story of a miracle. It isn't just a display of supernatural power, but it points us to the fact that Jesus wants us to believe in Him, not just because of what He can do, but for who He is. We find this story in John 4, 46 through 54. And again, let's watch.
A government official was there whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to go to Capernaum and heal his son who was about to die.
None of you will ever believe unless you see miracles and wonders.
Sir, come with me. Before my child dies.
Go. Your son will live.
The man believed Jesus' words and went. On his way home, his servants met him with the news.
Your boy, he's going to live.
He asked them what time it was when his son got better.
It was 1 o'clock, yesterday afternoon, when the fever left him.
Then the father remembered that it was at that very hour when Jesus had told him.
Your son will live.
and all his family believed. This was the second miracle that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee.
It's a desperate man that comes to Jesus. A desperate man with a desperate need. His child is sick and dying, and any parent that has ever had a sick child knows and can feel the sense of urgency. You don't know what's wrong. You don't know what to do. And a fear grips your gut that won't let go. I remember when Alyssa was a little baby and she developed this horrendous cough. She hacked and barked like a seal. She wheezed and it sounded to us like she couldn't breathe. So in the middle of the night, we scoop her up and we rushed her to the emergency room. Now, any of you seasoned parents or grandparents know exactly what it was. It was whooping cough. But we were new parents. This was all new to us. We didn't know what was going on, and we feared something that was wrong with our baby. But what do? When you've been to the ER and there's nothing the doctors can do? What do when all of the medicine and all of the treatments don't work? That's the situation that this government official is in. He's one of Herod's leading officials, and in that position, I am sure that he had the money and the connections to get the very best for his boy. But none of the doctors could help. None of the potions, none of the treatments were any good. And his son near death's door. And a desperate person will try anything. I've known people who exhausted everything that the doctors and medicine here in the United States could do. And so they go to another country. They go to Mexico to try a treatment that hasn't been approved, something experimental, but they're desperate to try anything that might work. I had a friend in Virginia who was diagnosed. He had cancer in his throat and in his tongue and the base of his brain. And his only option was to try an experimental regimen of treatments that had never been tried before. And they told him, the treatment might kill you, and you might not ever talk again. But it was his only hope. And it's this sort of thin thread of hope that leads this government official on a 20-mile journey from Capernaum to Cana of Galilee, where Jesus now is. He's back in Cana. This is where we were last week when Jesus performed his first miracle, changing the water to wine. And I think his story is like so many of ours. Desperation drives him to Jesus. But his hope was realized in a way that was more than he ever imagined. Jesus not only heals his son, but he does so at a great distance of 20 miles. And not only does he heal his boy's body, but he heals the father's heart. You see, the man comes to Jesus with only the most basic elementary level of faith. But by the end of the story, he and his whole family have come to a full, wholehearted, life-changing, saving faith. Imagine your journey of faith like a ladder with different rungs. And faith begins at a most basic level. It begins with what it sees with its eyes. I believe because of what you did. It is a faith by sight. And when this official first approaches Jesus, it is faith at this most basic level, believing with his eyes. It needs some sort of visual evidence, tangible proof. If I see it, I will believe it. And I think this is where faith begins for a lot of us. Lord, if you just answer this prayer, Lord, if you're really there and you really hear me, then open this door. Lord, if you provide for this need, then I will believe. And in our desperation, we turn to God with a weak, trembling, uncertain faith, looking for anything to hold on to. And what does God do? God, in His grace and His mercy, responds to this weak faith. He meets us at this level of our need. This is where the royal official begins. He begs Jesus, come, heal my son. It's a weak faith. It's an imperfect faith. He doesn't even really understand who Jesus is at this point. And he doesn't have much to go on. All he knows is what he's been told that Jesus has done. He's heard about the wedding where Jesus changed the water to wine. And it's an incredible story. He really wouldn't believe it, except there were so many eyewitnesses. Some of them he knows personally. And they would never make up something like that. And then Jesus has made his first journey to Jerusalem during his public ministry. And the stories that are coming out of Judea about that journey are incredible. Some say he's a great prophet. Others say he's a miracle worker. And so a desperate man begins to wonder. I wonder if this prophet, if this miracle worker can save a young Jewish couple's wedding, what might he do to save my son? And this leads us to a very important principle when we talk about this basic level of faith, and that's this. Even a little faith can make a big difference. Even a little faith can make a big difference. Repeat that after me. Even a little faith can make a big difference. Absolutely. This official was willing to act on just a little evidence. And I'm sure as he went those 20 miles, he had a lot of questions. I'm sure his mind was filled with doubt. But he was willing to act on the little evidence he did have. It wasn't a full faith. It wasn't a complete trust. But he was willing to make a step. And there's a lot of us down at this level that we think, well, there's nothing really I can do because my faith is so small. God really can't make a big difference in my life because my faith is so weak. But he can. It doesn't take a perfect faith. It doesn't take a complete faith. Even a small step based on a weak faith can be life-changing. But you have to act on it. You have to go to Jesus. And if you're down here at this level, let me ask you a question. What are you willing to do? What step are you willing to take? How are you willing to act on the little evidence that you do have? Or are you waiting to have every question, every doubt, every concern answered before you do something? If this government official had waited for that, his son never would have been healed. And he would have never known who Jesus was. None of this would have happened. But Jesus rewards even a little faith with so much more. And so, I challenge you, go to Jesus based on what you have. Ask, and He will answer. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Now, I'll admit, going to Jesus isn't always easy. It does take a step on our part. For this man, it was a 20-mile journey from Capernaum to Cana. It's a long journey on foot, and even if he rode on horseback, like in the video, it was a day's journey through rugged terrain. But if you're stuck down here at this beginning level of faith, and you want to believe, but you're looking for some sort of proof, you want to see it with your own eyes, What are you willing to do? It could be as simple as going to God in prayer. It could be a matter of just opening your Bible and beginning to read what God has to say to you. It might mean going to somebody in the church that you know and trust and opening yourself to them and seeking their counsel. It might mean getting up an hour earlier on a Sunday morning and spending some time in Sunday school class. It might mean simply responding in obedience to something that God has been laying on your heart. Saying, you know what, we need to take care of this. We need to do something about this. And you've been ignoring it, you've been neglecting it, but maybe the step you need to take is to say, okay, Lord, I'll make that step. And if you take a step, even a little one, Jesus will reward that. Now, this kind of faith that goes by sight is just the first level of faith. It is the first rungs in the ladder, but God doesn't want us to stay at that level. He wants us to grow and to mature. Sadly, there are many people who stay at this level. They only believe with their eyes. Answer this prayer. Get me out of this jam. Give me this thing, and then I will believe. But God wants us to move beyond that. He wants us to believe who He is, not just what He does. You see, a faith that remains at that level doesn't fully honor God because it dictates the terms to God. It makes God serve us rather than we serve God. It says, God, I'll follow you as long as you keep on delivering the goods. Which makes God little more than a cosmic vending machine. It is a love based only on what we get out of it. I love you, Lord, just so long as you do what I want. So sight-based faith has its place as a starting point, but we've got to move on from there. We've got to move on from loving God for what He does to loving Him for who He is. And in our text in John chapter 4, we see Jesus stretch and begin to grow the official's faith. He comes based on the miracle he's heard about. He comes seeking another miracle. And when the official first approaches with his need, Jesus says something that I'm sure is not what he wanted to hear. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. This isn't what he wanted to hear. And I wish we could hear Jesus' tone of voice. I wish we could look into his eyes. I wish we could see the expression on his face. Because I don't think Jesus spoke these words as words of judgment or condemnation. Oh, unless you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. I don't think that's how Jesus said it. What I hear in Jesus' words here is his heart, his desire, his passion for something more, something deeper. He wants a greater faith, a faith that doesn't depend only on what it sees. You see, the crowds were willing to show up to see Jesus and hear Jesus. They were willing to follow Jesus from place to place as long as he could deliver the goods, as long as he did something they could see and they could go, ooh, ah. But when it came to just believing Jesus and believing in him for who he was, the crowds disappeared. But Jesus wasn't looking for the crowds. He was looking for somebody who would simply believe in him. And so Jesus begins to stretch this official's faith. He dares him to trust just a little bit more. The man so desperately wants Jesus to come before his child dies. And I think Jesus understands his pain. He understands his fear. But he's also trying to grow his faith. And so Jesus gives him this promise. You may go and your son will live. Now this isn't what the man asked for. He wanted Jesus to come with him. And in his mind, he's thinking, Jesus will come with me back to Capernaum. He'll go into my son's room. He will lay hands on the son. He will touch him. He will say some words. And we will see something amazing happen. But for all that he can see here, Jesus hasn't done anything. He's just said a few words. He's got no proof. He's got no evidence. And now he's got a simple choice. Well, one, I guess he could stay and continue to badger Jesus. Oh, please, come on. I'll pay you some money. He could do that, not believe what Jesus says. Or he could not believe what Jesus says, give up hope and just leave. Well, I tried. I gave it my best shot. Or choice number three, he could take Jesus at his word. He came seeking a sign, but he wasn't given a sign, only a word. What will he do? Well, John tells us the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And what we've seen here is he has just moved to a higher level of faith. It's not just faith by sight anymore. Now it's a faith by word. And he believes what he's heard. He believes with his head. He believes it is true. And this level of faith believes because it knows his word is true. Jesus says it, and he does it. Now, his faith may have been insufficient. It may have been ignorant. But Jesus doesn't turn him away. Rather, he grows him beyond where he was. And now he no longer believes with his eyes. He believes with his head. His faith is now greater, but it's still not a full-fledged faith. And again, many people get stuck at this point. And I think churches are full of people at this level. They don't be moved beyond this rung. They believe God's word is true. They even try to do what it says. They try to be obedient. But for them, it's a list of rules. It's do's and don'ts. But there's not a passionate love for God. There is not an intimacy with their Savior. Faith is simply following the rules. But God didn't intend our faith to stay at this level. He wants it to be something more. He wants it to be something deeper. He wants more than just your obedience. He longs for your love. I believe God desires a relationship with you. Maybe it sounds odd to say that God desires our companionship, but I believe it's true. Not only does he want our companionship, but even greater, he wants to give us his companionship. And so that leads us to the next level, and it is a faith that comes out of love, where we believe with all of our heart. And that's when we move from that second level to the third level. It is believing in Jesus not only for what he does, not only for what he says, but simply because of who he is. By the time the royal official reaches home, I believe this official's faith has moved to that level. And I imagine as he's going home and the things that are going through his mind, hope fills his heart. Jesus says, your son will live. But he doubts, he wonders, he questions. And then he sees some people approaching in the distance. And then he realizes he recognizes him. He knows who those people are. Those are his servants. And they're coming. They're rushing out to meet him. And he knows at that point that it either has to be really good news or really bad news, right? Because those are the only two things that would make them come out and meet him so far out. And it's good news. Your son is alive. He's up and about. He's taking food again. He wants to play. You won't believe it. And so he asks, when did this happen? And he puts two and two together. And he makes an incredible realization. And this is where we see the royal official make the final step from this level to this level. In verses 52 and 53, when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, your son will live. And then here it is. So he and all his household believed. Now we need to give the official credit. He had the intelligence to recognize what Jesus had done for him. He could have quickly forgotten. He could have thought, boy, that was a close one. We sure got lucky there. Too often in life, we go to Jesus in our need, but we forget about him in our blessing. But he didn't do that. But at this third and final stage of faith, he and his family simply believe in who Jesus is. As John says in our text, they believed. I don't know where you are at in your journey. But consider that in your mind. Where are you at here? Whether you're now down here just starting out or you're somewhere here in the middle, what is it going to take to move to the next level? What is God calling you to do? What step is He calling you to take to step ahead in your faith? Maybe you're all the way down there at the bottom. You're not sure even if you believe or not. But you have a desperate need in your life. A need that you have tried so many things to help, but nothing has worked. And I invite you to look to Jesus. Take a step, even if it's a small one, and see what Jesus can do. See how Jesus might meet you in your need. Maybe you've been in church a while. You've believed a number of years. You live a good life. But faith right now for you is just trying to live according to the right rules. But you know there's got to be something more, something deeper to this. It's about having a relationship with God. It's about being in love with Jesus simply for who He is. What step are you willing to make this morning? We're going to sing a hymn, a song of invitation and commitment. And you're going to have an opportunity to take a step. And maybe you take those steps literally this morning. You take a step to go pray, to pray with somebody. Take a step to go through those doors and speak with me. To make a decision to follow Christ, a decision to rededicate your life, a decision to be baptized into Christ. A decision to make Sunrise your church home. Maybe you need to pray about another step, to pray with someone, to seek the courage and the strength to take a step. Terry mentioned last week about opening the cross up again. And the leadership had a chance to talk about that. And we're going to do that today. And the reason we originally moved the prayer time from up here to back there is we had a number of people who told us, I want to go pray, but I don't want to do it in front of people. And we understand that fear too. So what we want to do today is offer both options. We're going to have people up here at the cross to pray with you. A lot of us like the symbolism and the meaning of going to the cross and seeking the cross. We are also going to have people back here to pray with you. So seek out one of our leaders, seek out one of our Stephen ministers who have the little tags that say prayer team. And they'll pray with you. We also have the prayer bench right back here. If you just need some private time between you and God, And maybe there's that step that you need to take on your knees right back there. But whatever step you need to take, I want to invite you to take that step. And maybe that step begins with a symbolic getting out of your seat, stepping from your row, and stepping to pray with somebody today. And it begins right there so that you can grow in your faith. Nick, if you need to move the ladder, go right ahead. Or if you want to climb and sit on top of it, what, you know. Okay, there you go. But if the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder, take a step this morning. Would you please stand and sing with us?